Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the new GTLD Auction Proceeds CCWG Charter Drafting Team call held on the 9th of September 2016. On the call today, we have Russ Mundy, Alan Greenberg, Lyman Chapman, and Jonathan Robinson. Our board liaison today is Asha Hemrajani. From staff support, we have Samantha Eisner. Joining us a little later in the call will be Erica Mann. We have tentative apologies listed for Olga Cavalli and Sylvia Cadena. From staff, we have Marika Konings, David Tate, Lauren Allison, Julie Heverin, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. With this, I'll turn it back over to you, Jonathan.
Thanks, and hello, everyone. We have a short call scheduled today. The primary purpose of which is to, in essence, sign off on this charter in its form that it currently now is, in order that we can circulate this to the SOs and ACs with a view to them indicating whether a sort of agreement in principle. That's what we would like to do. So instead of, because the challenge is if we send it out and say, please approve this, it becomes a very binary decision on the part of the SO and ACs. They either approve it or don't, and the risk is that we get some approving it or some not, and we end up with a half-approved charter. So the mechanism we've proposed and are choosing to do is to send it to them and say, look, please identify any overarching or serious concerns that you need us to address. And if you do not, we will turn that around and send it back to you. So that's where we are with the agenda, with the charter at this stage. What we want to achieve at this meeting is we actually had the chart. At our last meeting, we'd more or less completed the final substantial edits, and those were incorporated into the charter. And I committed to do an editorial review, which I've done. And I apologize, it was fairly late in the day, so you haven't had a lot of chance to digest it. But I assure you, from my point of view, there were no material changes. They were more about clarity of expression and organization of the terminology and so on. So we can walk through that and have a look at it. And in addition, in the interim, Sylvia has raised a couple of points, one in two different areas, which I suggest we look at. She questions whether we've got the intent that we had, intended, and in the other, she seeks to, I think, slightly modify the language. So let's look at those. And having done that, we then should sign off on the timeline. So the purpose of the call is to do a quick overview of the charter as it now stands, check that we're okay with it, and if we are, our intention is to send it out on Monday, essentially, to the chartering organizations. And by the way, for those, the point that for example, Marika has just pointed out, that Lauren, I think, highlighted, I mean, any of those kind of details, if anyone catches that kind of thing, I mean, you can see on the very first page, which should be in front of you where it starts, the problem statement, we go straight in and say, the new GTLD program. I spelled out the abbreviation there because it's the correct thing to do. Even though this is largely going to go to a familiar audience, it's still correct not to just leap in our first line with an acronym, however familiar that acronym might be to us. So that's it. Any questions or comments on that agenda then? And that's sort of work for this next hour, if indeed it takes us that long. Okay, let's move straight on. And as I say, I think the key, I'm going to start paging through and highlight to you. I don't think I'm going to walk you through every single edit. I mean, these are, you know, as I say, they are editorial rather than if you go to, for example, the top of page two, I started off there in the paragraph that begins contention at the top of page two. And you can see it said, as such. And I just fleshed that out a bit, following the ICANN's board to commit to do so, the auction proceeds. So it's that kind of thing where it's non-substantial. I haven't changed the meaning, but rather clarified things, or in my opinion anyway, improved the written document. And I think anyone else should feel free to make similar edits if they feel they're absolutely necessary. Obviously, we don't want a document that's flying around all over the place if we plan to send it out on Tuesday. I said straight to, I'm going to page down and try to get to Sylvia's more substantial point or points, the first of which comes in on page 3. Now here, this is at the bottom of page 3, and the paragraph begins, to align with requirements. And Sylvia's comment was that she felt that this didn't have the meaning it was intended to have previously. As it happens, I think it does cover what was intended in its current wording, and so we just need to clarify if that does or doesn't have the desired effect. Because what we said here was, in the sentence we go on to say, the CCWG must include a limitation that funds must not be used to support political activity or attempts to influence legislation. And then we say these definitions are imposed to meet U.S. tax requirements. And then we say that those same, as we go on to the top of the next page, intended to use the funds intended to use the funds within the U.S. So it felt like that the meaning, but let me defer to Sam, who would propose to add an additional line, I suspect. But Sam, go ahead and come in on the audio. Don't hear you yet, Sam. I think I heard something very faint, but right now you're not coming through on audio.
Is this better, Jonathan?
Now we hear you loud and clear. Thanks, Sam.
Excellent. Thank you. So reading Sylvia's comment, I sympathize with her concern that it says that we have this requirement and everyone needs to follow it, but it's not clear if everyone needs to follow it just when they're in the U.S. or not. And so I think that if we added a line like I just added in the chat room that says something like, these requirements will apply to activities across any location where applicants are located or intend to use the funds. That way, it's clear that we intend for this to not only reach any applicant, but reach any applicant and the locations where they are.
Thanks, Sam. I hadn't read it that it had the limits, as I say, but I have no objection to that. I see Alan's come in, so let's hear from Alan if he has a comment.
Thank you. I also understand how someone who thinks we are talking about only U.S. spending could read this as implying only U.S. spending, even though it doesn't say that. I think the missing part of it, and I'm not trying to wordsmith, but I'll add a phrase which, if we can put it in the right place, might help, is that we are trying to prohibit expenses in other venues comparable to those that are not allowed under U.S. tax law within the U.S. So maybe that can be incorporated somehow to make it clearer. We are doing something rather unusual. We're saying it's something that's going to happen completely in another venue where the laws are completely different, but if it is comparable to lobbying in the U.S., then it is also forbidden. So if that helps, perhaps, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, well, I think I just noticed in the chat that Sam and Usher seem to agree with you. I think it'd be useful to have one person take responsibility for modifying the paragraph to accommodate those requirements, and to me that Sam is possibly best qualified to do so. So I don't know how others feel, but I'd be very happy to delegate to Sam, since she appears to understand the limits of it as it's currently written, even though it wasn't immediately apparent to someone like myself. But I'd be happy with that.
I am too.
And whether things with Sam's and Alan's words. Alan, are you happy with Sam sort of trying to capture that and sort it out?
More than 100%. I'm not looking for an additional task today.
Great. And it sounds like Erica and Asha are okay with that. So, Sam, why don't we just leave you with the opportunity to just review it and modify it to make sure that intent is properly clarified. Okay. So that, I think, deals, thank you, Sam. I think that deals with Sylvia's first point. And then the second one, and feel free to stop me if any of my other edits are a cause of concern to anyone. I hope they won't be, like I say, in my opinion, they were not material. But here we come down at the bottom of page 4 to Sylvia's additional point, And here this is all about the whole intention of the point is to indicate that what we didn't want to do was have a fund time limited, so it was in some way, by virtue of this charter, constrained from dealing with multiple doses of funding for a single supported project, or in some way we artificially restricted the lifetime of the fund so it couldn't support longer term projects, which was not the intention. And Sylvia's questioning the wording in particular, as far as I recall, the fact that she felt that the introducing the paragraph with auctions deriving from a single source was irrelevant. And I actually think she's probably got a point there. It's really the purpose of the point is to make sure that the time frame for distribution doesn't artificially restrict the kind of longer, medium to longer term projects that the ultimate mechanism may want to support. So, any comments or thoughts around what Sylvia has put there, any concerns with her proposed revised wording or any improvements on it? Alan, go ahead.
Thank you. I won't pretend to have read the actual wording. I presume we'll have over the weekend to actually read this quietly. Is that correct?
And Alan, I think what I would love us to do is you know, clearly accept within reason any of the editorial that I made and just, you know, go through that. Add any additional edits if you feel that something really is unclear, and accept the revised wording that we agree based on Sylvia's points on these two key areas. So what our intention is to come out with any non-controversial edits over the weekend such that we can
okay.
Send this in.
I was just clarifying the timeline. I support the intent of what Sylvia was talking about, and I agree that first sentence is a red herring here. It probably needs to be said somewhere, but it shouldn't be linked with the timeline of spending it. Thanks.
In that case, the actions would really be edit that paragraph to capture Sylvia's intent and ensure that the single source point is covered elsewhere, which I suspect it is, but we need to ensure that it is. And note that Sylvia has proposed some alternative wording. So apart from ensuring that first sentence is covered elsewhere, could you pay attention to that wording, which is in the lower right of your screen, where it says my suggested change is. Erica, your hand's up. Go ahead.
Jonathan, everybody, I think it is actually not a bad location to mention it here, because it frames the timetable, and it gives it a kind of political framing, not political, but a kind of framing in the sense that it says it is indeed a single operation. Now, this might change in the future, but for right now, it's a single operation. So I wonder if it is not really a good location. to have it, and I don't see anything negative coming from it. And I agree with Alan, if you don't want to have it here, then we will have to say it's somewhere else. So I'm, in principle, I'm open. If you want to say it somewhere else, it's fine, but we definitely need to say it somewhere. Otherwise, I feel like Alan, I would travel, review it. I just came back from a meeting, so I didn't see what was added, so I will review it and come back to you then over the weekend as well.
So, Erica, actually, that's an interesting point you made. So I think it's clear that what we want to do is record the action that your mic is still – thanks, Erica. We want to record the action that somewhere document we must make it clear that auctions derive from a single source. That seems to be everyone agrees on that. We must make sure that's the case. And then second, the question is whether it's necessary to make it here. Having heard what you just said, I think, and what Alan said and Sylvia and myself previously, where this seems like a red herring here, I can see that if you link them, so you say auctions derived from a single source, the new GTLD auctions proceeds round, and then you say, notwithstanding this, the time frame for the operation of this new mechanism is unknown. And somehow you acknowledge it, but recognize that the principal point here is all about the time frame. That may fix it. Alan, go ahead.
Thank you. On the first sentence, I realize what's bugging me is the single source. If we were designing this whole program to use the money from auctions and from a benevolent gift that ICANN got last year, it would have two sources. It would not be changing anything. So I don't think it's the single source that is relevant at all. I think we must document, as I think we already have somewhere, that this program is being designed to use the money from the auction funds derived from the first round of GTLDs, period. We could add, if we wanted to belabor the point, that at some point in the future, the program could be expanded to use other sources of funds if should they become available, but that's a decision for the future. Thank you.
Okay, so it feels to me like it would be, I know that, Erica, you were supportive of my suggested additional wording, but actually it is still potentially superfluous here. So why don't we commit to getting that in somewhere and making sure and ensuring, as I said before, that is in, and then keeping this point pure, which is really all this point is about, is making sure that the time frame is not set in stone such that we can't support medium to longer term projects. We don't force an artificial time frame on the distribution of funds, because that's all this is trying to do, as far as I understand it. It's making sure that we don't artificially constrain the time frame of distribution such that it accidentally rules out supporting certain types of projects. Marika confirms in the chat that the problem statement refers to the origins of the auction proceeds and the link with the new GTLD program. So that's my suggestion to you, that we do go along with something close to Sylvia's proposed edit, and second, that we ensure that we do make clear the source and single source nature of the funds at this stage.
Yeah, Jonathan, it's Alan. I just wanted to point out that this paragraph was originally inserted to limit the amount of time that we allow the program to run, and with the changes, it essentially says that we're removing a limit in that the program may well be running longer than is necessary because of the kinds of funding that we choose to give. So it's almost it's reversed its intent along the way. So just noting that, I don't think it's anything we have to act on.
Yeah, I accept that, Alan, and I recall that, like you do as well. There was an intent to limit it, and then the objection or concern from Sylvia was that if you limit it, you in effect limit against certain types of projects. So it feels like it's not a bad change to have made, but if others have concerns, please flag them at this point. And Asha, your hand is up, so why don't you come in at this stage?
Thank you, Jonathan. And I I just wanted to say I agree with what Alan just mentioned. It is going in completely in reverse. And while it's not my intention, I have no wish or desire to limit the type of projects that could be funded. I do see some dangers, possible dangers, although I cannot articulate them now. I do see some possible dangers in letting this run indefinitely. So I like what Erica is saying, that we need to de-link the points. De-link as in we can add language that helps clarify we are not restricting in terms of types of projects. However, we cannot let this funding program run forever and ever and ever, because there has to be an end. We have to ring-fence this. This cannot be a forever exercise. There has to be a beginning and an end, meaning we start dispersing the funds, and then there has to be a day we can see at the light at the end of the tunnel where the last dollar is dispersed. Thank you.
Thanks, Asha. Two things. I think when Erica was referring to delinking, it was decoupling the initial point auctions derived from a single source, and we've agreed to decouple those two. So that's okay. We're all right there. Alan's point is an interesting one. And actually, I'd refer you to the wording in the lower right there, because what Sylvia's current wording says is, what aspects should be considered to define a timeframe for the fund allocation mechanism? So she is saying, you know, how should the time frame, and maybe there's a better way of expressing that, but it does appear to acknowledge that there's basically delegating to the working group, saying, look, you need to think about how you've set a time frame out here, and maybe we need to, as you say, capture both points, because there is a desire to limit, and we did previously agree to limit that this must have an end point, yet at the same time that end point mustn't be so artificial that it restricts certain types of potentially valuable projects. So maybe that's what we need to, those are the two intentions, and then do some work on the wording to capture that. So if you and others, and I know, Alan, you're waiting to speak, but if you, Asha, and Alan and others agree that those are the two intentions, then it's a matter of finding the words to capture those intentions. And just again, my understanding of the intentions are, make sure there is some form of limitation on the time, on the time that this fund can exist, an appropriate limitation, but also ensure that that doesn't artificially constrain valuable, relevant projects. Go ahead.
I agree with what you just said, Jonathan. So Erica's delinking may have referred to something else, but it's very, very relevant here too. So I agree with what you just said. Thank you.
Thanks, Asha. That's helpful. I don't know if there's... I think someone, and I think David is capturing that principle in the notes. Marika, just come in before we then go to Alan.
Yeah, this is Rick. I just wanted to know that I think that the edit that Sylvia has suggested seems to capture those two principles, because in her proposed rewording of this section, she talks about a time frame. So time frame, at least from my perspective, has a beginning and an end. And then she asks as well the question, like, you know, how does the time frame link to, you know, projects that may be longer term or in which disbursement may happen in multiple tranches. So it seems that the way she has, you know, worded this paragraph captures those two points. So my question is, do all of us agree, and can we just use that? And again, if people want to fine-tune it, that's fine, but it seems to capture what we'll flag as the main points. And if not, I'll need someone to suggest alternative language.
So let me suggest a practical way forward. I think you do both. You use what David has done to capture the intended principle, then that isn't lost. We work with Sylvia's wording as the draft, but allow others to potentially improve that wording over the weekend to make it better consistent with those principles. So let's go to Alan, because he's been patiently waiting, and then see if we're going in the right direction. Alan?
Thank you very much. I have to admit that I do not understand this compulsion, and I'm using the word carefully, that the fund, that it must be a finite, limited project. and I don't have to understand it. It's one of these issues that perhaps I will not agree on, and that's fine. There are many such projects where they deliberately say, we will only disperse enough money to make sure this project can last forever and can operate off of the income the capital generates or something like that. I would not want to see a rule like that coming out of the CCWG. I would not want to see it artificially limited in how much we can disperse per year to allow the funds to last for N years or forever. On the other hand, if indeed we end up with enough money in this pile, and at this point we have no clue how much money there's going to be, and you know we're looking at 100,000 versus 230,000 today,
million.
At this point, we do not know how much there's going to be. We do not know what the demand is going to be or what kind of size projects the CCWG may contemplate. It may well decide we don't want to contemplate projects over $5 million because it's too large a commitment on a single thing. I don't know. The CCWG has a lot of work to do. But I don't understand the compulsion to say it cannot, under any conditions, last longer than N years. That's going to be driven by whatever limits the CCWG puts on annual or single disbursements and what the demand is and what the quality of the applications is. It might end up running out after 2 years. It might end up running out after 12 years. And I'm not sure what difference it makes if we're making good use of the money and we're not spending an inordinate amount on overhead and processing the requests. Thank you.
Alan, so I'll just note that as it's currently written, the question in Sylvia's wording, it says what aspects should be considered to define a time frame. It doesn't insist on that,
yeah, no.
But I do note that she appeared to have quite a strong view on setting some kind of boundary to this. So it would be useful to hear from us or others on this. But in the meantime, let's go to Russ.
Jonathan, just to be clear, I wasn't criticizing Sylvia's comments. I was talking about the comments others have made that this must be limited and cannot go on forever. That was the part I was commenting on.
Yes, thanks, Alan. I understood that. And so that's why I was making it clear that I thought that Phil's consistent with your position, but that wasn't what you had heard from Usher and possibly others. So it'd be useful to clarify whether that is a necessary position. And then Sam comments in the chat, I don't know what it means to limit the time frame of the program, and others saying some sort of time. Let's let Russ speak, and then let's talk to the need or not to set a time frame for disbursement. Go ahead, Russ.
Jonathan, I'm in general agreement with, I think, Alan's comments with respect to setting a time frame or the need, that there's not a need to set a time frame. But the point that I wanted to raise is, I think, a related point to this aspect that we, I believe, had agreed on earlier, and that is that we do not want to constrain the CCWG in a way that would prevent establishment and operation of a set of mechanisms that could be an ongoing function and could accept funding from other activities beyond just the specific focus that we have. Muted my mic. Is it clear to proceed?
Yes, it's coming from Erica's mic. So, Erica, if you pull your mic stays on mute.
Okay, thank you. But because there's similar aspects and similar wording, although it's not exactly the same issue, I wanted to make sure we thought about the other issue as we work on these words so that we don't end up inadvertently doing something that we had previously agreed that we wouldn't do. So that was my main point. Thank you.
Russ, I just wonder whether, I mean, again, I urge you to concentrate on the principle we set out a moment ago in the notes, and also Sylvia's wording as it currently stands, because, and also to make sure that we don't do the work that might be best left to the CWGs. We need to give the right guidance, and at the moment the question is what aspects should be considered to define a time frame. So it's a nice open question. It just says, you know, think about a time frame, and but also make sure that in this example that the time frame doesn't artificially constrain it. So the question is it satisfactory as it stands? There's a few hands gone up in the queue now, and just let me check Sam's point as well. Sam says it would be important not to have the CCW consider opportunities to support an ongoing process that opens up a whole different world of legal and compliance issues. Not to have the CCW consider opportunities such as additional fundraising. Yeah. Okay. From what I understood from and check if this is consistent with your concern or not, Sam. From what I understood that Sylvia was looking for was the possibility of funding being given, for example, in multiple tranches, contingent on certain goals being met, which might and that may be over, for example, a many month or many year, a multiple year program. Let's let others speak now. So, Erica, your hand is up. Please go ahead.
I think there are many different issues. And
Erica, it seems like you may have two microphones open or speakers live while you're talking. So I'm going to go to Alan and then come back to you in a moment, Erica.
Thank you very much. In my mind, it is totally out of the CCWG scope to look at fundraising or other ways of repopulating this fund. That's something the ICANN board might do at some point in the future. That's a different issue. It is well out of scope for the CCWG. The only thing that should be defining the timeline is the prudent and effective use of the money. Thank you.
I might have something, but I didn't hear anyone talking about supplements to the funding. So I thought it was all about the time frame for distribution of the current.
Well, there were comments in the last couple of minutes about additional fundraising. Sam made comments, and someone else implied that maybe that should be within their mandate. I'm just reiterating that is outside of their mandate completely.
Okay.
But it might happen through some other mechanism other than the CCWG.
Okay. So that's certainly that's consistent with my understanding. And note that Sam has pointed out in the chat that she has no particular concerns with Sylvia's current proposed wording, and so please let's make that as our reference point. Erica, would you like to try and speak again?
I'm not sure if Carrie succeeded. No. Jonathan, I will write this stuff.
Thanks, Erica. And Tony, you asked where is Sylvia's language. It's the lower right of the screen where it says commented MK4 from Sylvia, and then it says my suggestion to change the text is 4. And then it commences what aspects. So that's Sylvia's proposed alternative.
Jonathan, to be clear, everyone has their own scrolling, so what's on the lower right of your screen is not what we see.
Apologies, we're on page 4. I'm assuming that everyone was on the same page, but we're looking on page 4, comment 4, and it's page 4, item 4 at the bottom of page 4, and then there are some comments on the right hand side. And Marika's copied that into the chat now for use of everyone. Okay, perhaps we've done enough on this. Please, Erica and Alan, your hands are up. So if you could take them down and re-raise them if you want to make a new point.
Sorry, I'm not at my desk right now. I'll lower it as soon as I get back.
Okay, great. Thanks, Alan.
Hi. Sorry, everyone. It's Sylvia here. I'm sorry, I'm only taking the call from my phone, so I don't see the Adobe Connect. So I was just wanted to make a quick comment. Jonathan, just let me know when can I speak. Thank you.
I think you should go ahead and speak now. Please do.
Oh, thanks. Well, I was able to download the file, the last file that Marika sent, and I'm watching on your comment that says my suggestion to change the text is. And I think that probably one thing that might help to clarify could be to add, for example, if we say what aspects should be considered to define a time frame, if any, for the fund allocation mechanisms to operate. And that will allow the CCWG more space to define, oh, there is no need for time frame, or there is one to support long-term projects, or the fact that we need to use this funding or other considerations might end up putting a specific time frame for the fund allocation. So maybe if we add if any, that will allow the CCWG to think beyond about a time frame, but beyond that. Thank you.
Sylvia, so just in case that wasn't 100% clear to everyone, Sylvia was saying what aspects, if any, should be considered to define a time frame for the funds allocation mechanism to operate. So it really delegates that to the CCWG, but makes sure that the question is considered. And perhaps that's the right approach, because we flag that there should be proper consideration given to a time frame, necessarily insisted on it. I inserted the if any probably not in exactly the right place, but the essence is the same. What aspects should be considered to define a time frame, if any, for the funds allocation? So that delegates that task to the CCWG and says, look, think about what time frame, if any, should be in place for the funds allocation, which frankly feels appropriate to me. It means we've thought about the fact that thought should be given to a time frame, but we're not prescribing it. How do others feel about that? Are we okay with that?
Alan, I think that's good.
Thanks, Alan. Samuel.
Thanks, Jonathan. I think that it's important that we make sure that we still have that the language regarding, and I'm trying to look through the charter quickly as we're on the call, but we have language regarding the need to limit overhead and the expectation of the types of overhead funding that go to the administration of the proceeds, at least somewhere in the document, and I can't see if it's still in here right now, because that is the type of consideration that you would expect to have with linked to that time frame issue. And so I'm worried that the insertion of the word if any means that there's no considerations, or there's a possibility of no considerations, but I think it's not helpful for us to divorce those two concepts totally. Again, I don't have concerns with the remainder of the language that Sylvia had proposed, but it's that suggestion that, if any, that maybe there's nothing to guide when we've already inserted the idea that administration of funds and capping the administration amounts is also an important thing to consider in the design of any program.
Thanks, Sam. Marika confirms, and I recall that restriction is still in there. There is a limitation on the overheads as a proportion of funds. I don't think we set that as a percentage, but I think we talk about industry best practices. We do seek to limit overheads, and I see the connection, but not. I mean, so that that is covered elsewhere, but even I note also in the chat that Russ agrees with tasking the CCWG of finding a time frame. Sam, I can't refer you to the exact section, although Marika says C8. Marika, what page is that 8 on? Oh, further below. Yeah, so immediately below that, we were on 4, and if you go down to point 8, it says what aspects should be considered to determine an appropriate level of overhead that supports the principles. So again, it begs the question of the CCWG. Sam, is your hand new in response to that now? Good point that Usher asks about whether we're talking about time frame for use of or disbursement. My understanding is that this is possibly covers both, as we were talking about it at the moment, is thinking about the time frame to cover both, because the example given was multiple disbursements or tranches of funding for a single approved project. And by definition, then that would be, there'd be some time frame to that use. Russ, did you want to respond, or Usher, did you want to come in on this?
Jonathan, if you can put me in the queue, that'll be great. Thank you.
Sylvia, go ahead. There's no one ahead of you at this stage, although Usher and Russ's hands have just come up. So why don't you go ahead, and then we'll hear from Usher and Russ.
Thanks. I think that the time frame will, if we follow the rest of the questions that we are doing in all these items about what to consider in X, Y, and Z, we have also, there is also one big question about evaluation and reporting and criteria for measuring success and all those things. So even if the mechanism disburses a big chunk of money and then there is a very short time frame for disbursement, the implementation of that will imply that whenever the report for that expenditure comes, that will be done depending on the time that of that implementation of that specific idea, that could take a year or 5 years or what, you know. So the who receives the reports and who published those reports and who manages those reports, that's part of the time frame as well. So that is something for the CCWG to consider, and I think that by having all this list of questions, we are setting a good path for all the thinking that they will have to do, and that maybe we can, you know, be available for the CCWG if required to provide more clarification about the extent of all these conversations. They will have all the recordings of this available, but I don't think that we need to link absolutely every question to every question, because it is obvious that they all refer to the option proceeds. And if we try to make them more complicated than they are, then we kind of miss the spirit of each one of the considerations that we are trying to mention. They are all linked together, and it's the work of the CCWG to actually interpret to which ones they give more weight and more importance. Thank you, Jonathan.
Sylvia, and it does make me think of a tangential point that we will need to deal with, is when we communicate this next week to the chartering organizations, we will need to make it very clear to them that the substantial work is intended to be done by the CWG. Otherwise, there's a risk that we will come back to us with points that we've deliberately left for the CWGs. That just reminds me and all of us, when we look at, there have to be a covering letter that goes with this, that frames the work of the drafting team and in relation to what the CWG might be expected to do. Okay, Usher, your hand is up next.
That's a very good point. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, Usher, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Jonathan. So I think I agree with what you mentioned what you said, Jonathan, in relation to my question. If it is referring to both defining the time frame for use of funds as well as for disbursement of funds, then I would agree with, I'm okay rather with what Russ suggested, that is, we task the CCWG to define both time frames. I was actually more concerned about the time frame for disbursement of funds. I didn't really think about a time frame for use of funds, but that also is an interesting idea to consider. Thank you.
Sasha, and having had it flagged by, I guess, your question, it does, they seem to be interlinked to me, which is it's useful to be thinking about those. Russ, go ahead.
Thank you, Jonathan. I am not certain of how we are differentiating the disbursement of funds and the use of funds. My general point was that I think it is reasonable for the CCWG to define the timeframes, and if there are differences between what it actually means to use the funds and what it means to disperse the funds, I think it's fine to have them do it, define the timeframes for each of the appropriate set of timeframes, because if it's an area of responsibility and accounting and auditability, we absolutely do have to, as when it gets to the CCWG step and the distribution mechanism step, we do have to be very careful and mindful of all of those things that are required to meet those things, to meet the audit and accountability aspects. And so it could be a broad statement by the CCWG about the broad time frame for each of them, or it could be that there's some periodic report that the distribution mechanism sends back to the ICANN board or some staff function. But I think these are very reasonable things for the CCWG to work on it. First, the definition of what are the set of things, and secondly, what is the time frame associated with reporting and what should be contained in those reports. But all CCWG activities, not ours.
Yeah, okay, good. That's helpful. Thanks, Russ. And I think I have a feeling we might be able to just add a small tweak to Sylvia's wording to get there. But let's hear from Alan next and see what.
Thank you very much. There's a huge body of knowledge about doing this kind of thing. There's a fair amount in this drafting team. Certainly Sylvia and I have a fair amount of experience, but maybe others as well. There's going to be a huge body of knowledge in the CCWG, and there has to be a fair amount of experience and knowledge in the ultimate group that we ask to handle the actual disbursements. So we will probably put limits, we, the CCWG, put limits saying no single project should extend over 5 years or something like that. But the limits past that are going to have to be largely viewed based on the project. Yes, we have to link it to disbursement and use. We don't send someone the second $1 million if they haven't even touched the first million yet. So there's all sorts of things and checks and balances that go into this kind of process. It's well understood. So CCWG is going to have to provide some overall guidance. The details probably should not be done at that level, but I don't think we even need to speak about that at this point. But just remember, there's a huge body of knowledge. We're not reinventing this. Thank you.
Alan, so to put it specifically, we could tidy up the wording, but try to modify it slightly by posting it in the chat, that will cover where we seem to be going with this. Usha? If that's old hand, please withdraw it, otherwise proceed to speak. So I think we've talked through that pretty thoroughly. We know what we want to achieve. It's something close to what Sylvia has suggested, where we cover, it seems, both use and disbursement. We're coming up to the top of the hour, and those were the two substantial points we wanted to prove. So I think I'm going to move us on to the point on time frame and next steps. So that's up in the top right-hand part of your screen under the notes section. For if anyone joined late and perhaps missed that, what we have here is in fact a charter in a form that we think is close enough to what we would want to ultimately submit to the chartering organizations that we can submit it to them for, if you like, preliminary approval. And what we want to do is get back, we want a carefully worded letter that as I said earlier, describes both the role of the drafting team briefly and the role of the CWG and the status of the charter. And what we really want is agreement in principle with the charter, and if not, the raising of any substantial or weaknesses. And assuming we get no substantial shortcomings or weaknesses, we'll resubmit it to the chartering organizations formally for approval. And if we do get feedback, we'll deal with that. And so that's the intended course of action. And that submission to the chartering organizations will be next week. And I guess it'll be up to myself with the help of Alan and to draft that covering letter that goes with this. Thanks, Alan. Marika, your hand is up. Please proceed to speak.
So this is Marika. So if I can maybe suggest that staff will get out a redline and clean version immediately after this call, and then people have until Sunday evening, wherever they are, to suggest any other like minor edits, any cleanup that may need to be done, so that indeed on Monday staff can work with you and Alan to get that letter out to the different SOs and ACs and distribute the charter.
Thanks, Marika. That sounds like the intended plan, and thanks, Russ, for your support for that process. Alan, your hand is raised. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Just two small points. Number one, could we have page numbers on the document? It's good that Jonathan's been referring to page numbers, but there aren't actually any on the document at the moment, at least not as far as I can see. And number two, if it is possible, and I don't know whether it is with this table structure, if line numbers make any sense to help identify where people have changes or issues, that would be useful. I suspect when you use tables, line numbers are not as meaningful and it may not make sense. That's it.
Okay. Thanks, Alan. We can have a look at that, certainly page numbers. And just to be clear, I was referring to page numbers as they appeared in the screen here, so they should be correct, but I take your point. I think it would be useful to have them in your document. Anyone else have any questions or issues they'd like to raise? I know that many of you have to get away at the top of the hour, so any other questions or points at this stage? Well, good. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, staff. We'll look forward to seeing the turnaround of the clean version as soon as possible. We'll review it and aim to be getting this out as in the format we described to the chartering organizations later on Monday. All right, good. Thanks, everyone. Wishing you, some of you may be closer to the weekend than others, but wishing you a good weekend when you get there, and thanks for your help on the call today.
Some of us may be in the weekend already, actually. Or at least one of us. Good call. Thank you all.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks a lot for having me. Really appreciate it. Bye.
Thanks all. Bye.
Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Operator Brian, if you can please stop all recordings. To everyone else, please remember to disconnect your line and have a wonderful rest of your day.